This week's show is supported by Signature Studio. And I use this myself. If you ever get an email from me, that email signature, it's all Signature Studio. Think about how many emails you send every single day. Each of them an opportunity to compound an impression, tell your story, and position yourself in the minds of the people who matter most. Most people waste this opportunity with a name, maybe a phone number. Signature Studio lets you build an email signature that works for you, featuring live testimonials, your latest podcast episode, a booking link with Calendly, or a rotating banner that stays fresh long after you hit send. It takes minutes to set up, works with Gmail, Outlook, and Apple Mail, and you need no design skills. Your inbox is the most under-leveraged channel in your business. Signature Studio fixes that. Start building for free today at signaturestudio.me.
Welcome to Building Your Leader Brand. Today on the show, Bob is speaking with Nicole Osborne.
Hi there and welcome to Building Your Leader Brand. My name is Bob Gentle and every week I speak with incredible people who share their secrets to building, marketing and monetizing their expertise, intentionally amplifying their unique personal brand and the mindset you need for your business and career to grow and thrive. If you're new to the show, you will not be bored of me saying you can download the Personal Brand Business Roadmap at amplifyme.agency/roadmap or just hit the link in the show notes. It's everything you need to start, scale, or fix your expert business. And if you are new to the show, then you should take a moment to subscribe or follow. That way you won't miss a single thing. So this week, I am really excited. LinkedIn for me is one of my main platforms. And when I'm approaching LinkedIn, I have my own personal group of Avengers that I always look at for support. And joining me this week is Nicole, one of my personal Avengers. I think they're calling them Thunderbolts now. They've rebranded a whole new group. Nicole, welcome, my personal Thunderbolt for LinkedIn.
Oh, Bob, that is such a high compliment. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. I'm really excited to be back on the podcast for the third time. Thanks so much for inviting me. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Third time, that's right. You were one of my very first guests, I think.
I was, yeah.
So for the listener who's meeting you for the first time, and obviously every time you show up, things are a little bit more finely tuned, a little bit more nuanced. But what does core business look like for you? Who is Nicole Osborne?
Thank you. So I am the founder of Wonderstars, and the listeners might have guessed by my slight accent that I'm originally from Germany. Now, in my business, I really specialize in working with tech founders and agency owners to really help them win their best clients with LinkedIn. Now, I do this with my one-on-one coaching or my Dan With You strategy service for LinkedIn Activator Playbook. And Bob, you know, I particularly specialize actually in working with people who are very marketing reluctant, who are super worried about being boastful or too salesy on LinkedIn. So I specialize in really helping them overcome their LinkedIn Berlin walls of fear. Now, I'm a LinkedIn top voice. I'm an international speaker and I'm also a chartered marketeer. And nowadays I live in Maidstone with my family. I've got a British husband and yeah, I've been in England now for 30 years. And then I want to keep fit. I go jogging 3 times a week. How was that for an introduction?
I can tell you've done it before. There's so many questions I have, but I think a good place to begin is there are LinkedIn creators who have worked out, okay, they know what they're doing now. They understand that you need to work through, you know, one of the things when I'm talking to people and somebody say mention LinkedIn and you can see the shoulders sag and they think, oh, It's the LinkedIn feed is just full of people showing off and talking about how wonderful they are and how delighted they are to do this and how thrilled they are to have been. It can often feel like if you are a naturally modest person, quite off-putting. It really comes across as the LinkedIn feed is not a place that you really want to be participating in. How do you help people through that first, oh, LinkedIn?
You know, I can really empathize with that because out of all the social media platforms, LinkedIn still has got that reputation of being quite stuffy. It's only a place for your CV it's only applies to job hand. So the first step really is to mindset wise to question some of these assumptions, because once you spell them out, and particularly with a peer or a coach, it's easier just to see them actually for what they are. And one of them is probably just a simple marketing fear. You know, no one wakes up on a Monday morning, as much as we would love them to, and thinks, hey, today I'm going to promote my business. I'm going to make sales. I mean, we all have these fears and these barriers. Do you know what one thing I like to do, and I qualified as a M-code coach, which is basically a personality test, which really uncovers what drives you, what things you love to get out of bed for, and what things you sort of put off and why that is. Because to really define your why, you know, why do you want to go and be more active on LinkedIn? Why do you want to show up for your audience? Because you're probably not doing it for fun. You are probably doing it to get better clients for your business, to show up as an expert in your niche, and to really position you and your business for bigger and better opportunities. Now, obviously, it's even better if you can find an emotional reason as well. So, do you know, I remember the last time I was really hit with this fear was actually when I set up my own business around 2016. I'd been in corporate life for over 16 years, last positions as a marketing director. You can't imagine how scary it felt to suddenly show up on LinkedIn as Nicole Osborne. Who am I? What level of expertise do I have? I have nothing interesting to say. What will my peers think? But then I wanted to create a business, and I figured out really quickly that what I had to do was to build an audience, and not just any audience, but the kind of audience who I would love to work with and who could pay me well for my expertise. So once you know your why, it's easier, once you've named your fears as well, to turn up brave, Bob. So there isn't a quick fix to this. Of course, you can watch lots of YouTube videos, get inspiration from amazing podcasts like these. But really think about, why are you scared of LinkedIn? What is really behind it? And how have you in the past overcome these hurdles? Maybe you could use the same techniques. Bob, do you know, one easy technique might just be to speak to someone like you for accountability, or to mention to a peer, hey, I want to be more active on LinkedIn over the next 6 months. If you haven't seen a post for me for a week, please give me a hard time. Do you know, accountability works really, really well for helping us to overcome fear. So yeah, just as a sort of finishing part on this, it is absolutely normal to feel a little bit, oh my God, I'm going to just be salesy or boastful. LinkedIn unfortunately does have still that perception, but spend some time on it and you'll see, you know, people have some fun on there. It's like being at a networking event, maybe even at a drinks reception. It's all about people.
I think as well that if you're not a participant in LinkedIn, your LinkedIn feed is going to reflect that. I guess the way I would look at this is, if you were to look at the majority of the LinkedIn feed and think this is how we're supposed to behave, I can see this completely being a turnoff. But as you said, you need to find your own way into this. So if somebody's coming to you with a lot of assumptions about what LinkedIn content is, how do you pivot them to think, no, the first thing you're going to need to do is find your own voice, and all the associated mental gymnastics that come around my voice, imposter syndrome, yeah, anxiety, what will people think of me? People might not like me. How do you help them through that specifically?
Yeah, you capture it so well. Those are exactly the worries people have. Do you know, so we talked about helping people to find their why. That hopefully should give them some motivation. The next thing I like them to do, and actually, do you know, it's the same I do when I go up on these stages. I get really nervous. I really do. People often say to me, Nicole, you don't look nervous, but they haven't seen me having sleepless nights for months on end and being really nervous. But the one thing which breaks the ice for me is actually to talk to people in the audience. And it's what you alluded to earlier. So on LinkedIn, start by being present on the platform. Pick up some subjects you're interested in. Pick up some subjects your ideal audience is interested in. See the kind of conversations, because what you will recognize really early on is, oh my God, yes, some people show up as a really aloof expert and it's all about thought leadership and showing up. But some people also really share some really interesting stories about struggles they've faced. and see the positive reaction of the audience. So I remember one client of mine, his name is Fabio, agency owner based in Malta, and he really had a huge LinkedIn Berlin Wall of Fear, and he called, I have nothing interesting to say. Who would want to know about my stories? So we sat down and we uncovered those, and actually I encouraged him to share something, a story he had by moving from England to Malta and how he never had to wear suits again. And you know, once he did that, and he really did resist it. So it was a lot of encouragement. But it was picked up by the local press. He got featured. He had lots of comments. As a result, he received an invitation to a speaking gig in Dubai. And that's not only the only gig. It's also resulted in some really juicy leads for his business. So I would say break it down into smaller steps. So if the first step is just to reintroduce yourself to your audience, do that. Be really brave. Think about a story you could share, a personal insight, so that you don't come across as this really unapproachable expert. And post it and see what happens. What is the worst that could happen, right, Bob? You can delete it, you can edit it. But in my experience, and I'm sure it mirrors your own experience wanting to build their personal brand, once you start getting out there and you go on that stage and you share something of value, you are likely to receive positive feedback because people want you to do well. Now, just one quick caveat to that. I think a big fear point is that essentially when we start out, we want to post for our peers. So for you, it's probably, you know, I'm a personal branding expert, business building expert, online business building expert. For me, it would be also personal branding experts, LinkedIn experts, and we get really worried about what would they say or what would people in our old network say. And this is the other mindset shift I recommend people in the audience do. You are not posting for your peers. You are posting to attract a community that benefits your business. And that takes off a lot of the pressure because if I wanted to speak to my peers, I would talk about always the latest LinkedIn updates and all the data I've accumulated by working with my clients. But I'm not posting for them. I'm posting for tech founders and agency owners who struggle, who want to be seen as leaders in their businesses, yet they have this real weakness and don't know how to tackle LinkedIn. So I pitch my content to my audience, and I think that frees you up. If you're not posting for your peers and you're not having to teach and be so strict with people, then it's easier. But would you say that's a good point?
I do. I think as you were speaking, I was thinking about another anxiety that's very, very similar. Well, first, the whole peer thing, yeah, you see this all the time. And we're all guilty of this, that as an expert, if I'm going to show off my expertise, I'm going to have to show how high level that expertise is. Mm. But actually, if you look at what your clients really want, it's usually these tiny little simple things that will change their day. So actually just focusing on one simple thing is often the true mark of an expert. If you look at a craftsman, for example, they've spent a lifetime honing their craft and they make really complex things look easy because it's tiny little efforts. And it's how to make these tiny little efforts that people genuinely value from a craftsman or an expert.
I love that line. Absolutely.
There's another fear that I see people have a lot, and I include myself in this, even though I can rationalize it. It's a little bit like if you step up on stage and you pour your heart and soul into a talk, and then you think, and that's the end of my talk. And you stand there and you wait for the applause, and people just start talking to their friends. LinkedIn can feel a little bit like this sometimes. And especially when, and this leads to a particular problem, which I think working with somebody like you really will help, which is they, as new LinkedIn users, and I see it's not just new LinkedIn users, will start getting outrageously tactical. I think I need a better hook. I need to try a different format. Maybe this has to be a carousel. When maybe the algorithm just hasn't picked you up yet, or maybe the weather on LinkedIn just wasn't in your favor today. But number one, the fear of not just a bad reaction, but no reaction. And the reaction to that, which is I need to be more tactical when maybe you just haven't played enough. How do you help people through that particular minefield?
Yeah, and it is a minefield because we live in a society nowadays where we expect every post to go viral, for things to happen instantly. And when it doesn't, we feel like, oh my God, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm just going to give up. So I'm really pleased that you've mentioned it, because the first point I want to make to that in my experience is that even sometimes then your data doesn't show that the post has been seen by many people. It, as long as it's been seen by the right kind of people. I have this with clients again and again. Hey, Nicole, we started posting a month ago. I've been trying to secure this pitch and suddenly the door has been opened. Or we hang up with a client on a shoot and they've mentioned my LinkedIn post about this trip. So know that there's a huge silent community on LinkedIn of people who understandably feel shy and they don't want to raise their hand, they don't want to comment. So yes, of course, we all want to go viral and we want to have lots of engagement, but that takes time, and you can be successful on LinkedIn with a small audience as long as you manage to get engagement from your community. So as an antidote to that, actually, so let's say your posts haven't done really, really well. I would ask you to look at, have you actually commented on anyone who you are interested in, who's interesting to yourself or your business, or who has a really good audience for your business and for your message? Because that's always a really good step. So I know we're all so preoccupied, what should we post, what should we post? But actually, what about commenting? And you know, we both compared it to being on stage. So let's do the equivalent in a networking event. If I just go out and say, hey, I'm Nicole, I'm a LinkedIn top voice, aren't I amazing? Really boring. But if I'm at a LinkedIn, sort of at a networking event, and I actually ask some good questions and I share my point of view or an interesting story, I'm much more likely to be memorable. So the same principle applies on LinkedIn. So go out there, find people who have something to say, a conversation you want to be part of, and start commenting. And also, because that makes you spend a little bit more time on LinkedIn, the next time you write your next post, you feel more comfortable because you're kind of flexing that muscle, you're learning. So yes, my tip would be start commenting more.
I think another reason that's important is it's training the algorithm as to who it should show your content to. But another aspect of this that's really easy to underrate, I think people think of LinkedIn as a big audience play. But actually, if you can, and I think this is where the comments come in, I'm going to segue into directly to the comments. So the reason I love comments is people crave them on the one hand, but also if somebody really thoughtfully comments on my post, I will remember it for weeks. I'm very unlikely to forget that person, and I'm going to feel very positive about them. It's this whole thing of people won't remember what you say, but they will remember how you made them feel. Now, that's on a very micro level in a comment. The poster is going to remember that. But that behavior compounds over time. And if a personal brand is what people think about you when you're not around, that has a big impact. Which brings me to my next point a little bit, which is, what's the goal on LinkedIn? And yes, we would love a post to generate cold inquiries. But statistically, what's far more likely to happen is someone in our network will think, oh, Bob needs to speak to this person. Because if we look at how most opportunity comes into a consulting business, and your clients are essentially consulting businesses, I did a study and something like 60% of opportunity normally comes into a healthy consulting business through referrals and relationships. And we look at it, knowing that this is the case, how do we amplify that? How do we get more of it? And how do we get better quality? And it comes down to, well, how are we activating our network? And I'm going to tell you a story, Nicole. I don't tell stories on podcasts very often, but this one's appropriate. And if you're a client, I apologize. You've probably heard the story before. But my business 20 years ago was predominantly website design. And I built a website for a guy. I never met him in person, but he was delighted with it. And I never followed up. 7 years later, I get a phone call saying, hey, Bob, we've had a new website built. Could you move the hosting for me? And I thought, what? Why didn't you come back to me? I'd become long-term memory, Bob. Somebody else who was a short-term memory guy got the work. And this, for me, is one of the primary functions of LinkedIn. It gives us that opportunity to be front of mind, be short-term memory, Bob, and not long-term memory, Bob. Because long-term memory, Bob, never gets any referrals. And if you are listening thinking, I need a big audience on LinkedIn, the people that really matter to you are the people that you know, the people that already know, like, and trust you. So that when they're having a cup of coffee, talking about a problem with a friend, the reaction is, you need to speak to Nicole. And that's why the big numbers aren't actually that important, but it's why things like the comments are, because it's going to train the algorithm to reflect your genuine network. If you're participating in networking with people that you know on LinkedIn, your visibility is going to reflect that. And I think that is a very underrated side of LinkedIn, I think.
I absolutely adore that story. I really do, because it's so true for service providers. Referrals and being remembered by the right people is essential. I read a quote somewhere by an agency owner which said 90% of your marketing is to remind people that you're still around. Yeah. And that goes with what you just said about the referrals. And, you know, sometimes just a post to reintroduce yourself to an audience which maybe shares some work wins, some life wins. Suddenly, oh my God, Bob, hey, you just had this holiday. I've been on this holiday. Do you know we've got this project on? And I know it's not always that quickly, but you want to be top of mind. Mm. So showing up consistently and showing up in a way which is not completely boring AI content, but actually gives away a little bit of yourself, some of your stories and your personal insights, really does help to increase referrals. Now, quick caveat, it's also really important to have a quick look at your LinkedIn profile, the people you are wanting to attract for your business. Do you say all the right things on your profile? Is what you say relevant to them? Does it show that you know their struggles, what they're hoping to achieve, and how does it position you as their best top expert? So that's really important as well. So yes, be active, but also have a quick look at your profile and evolve it over time as your message and your services for your companies evolves.
Again, the profile is really underrated. If you were to look at how people come into our lives on LinkedIn, they will always pass through your profile. If they're interested in what you do, you might have a great website with a portfolio on it, but if they're going to arrive there, they're going to have to pass through the ring of your profile first. So approaching the profile like it was your website is probably a good way of looking at it. When I have somebody like you, I have to ask tips and tricks, because the world is always changing. The world's always evolving. Assuming somebody doesn't have LinkedIn Premium, because I think that has a whole different ecosystem, what are a few little ninja tricks that will really help lift a profile?
Mm-hmm. So what's always challenging with LinkedIn and other social media platforms that everything changes all the time. So yes, try and use the latest features, but actually really strip it back to basics. So before you do anything on your profile, I recommend you really look at your audience. Who's it you're trying to attract? What goes on into their day-to-day lives? What would they be searching for on LinkedIn? What would they be finding as value? That gives you a really good strategic foundation. The classics are, you know, really make sure that your tagline, so the text under your name, is saying something which shows who you are, helps you to be found. But also, I would say you're probably most likely to have something quite serious sounding in there. So my ninja tip is actually just think about some good talking points. You know, go back to that scenario we chatted about earlier. If you had a networking event, drinks reception, what things can make you memorable? Do you know, currently, I think I've just got an emoji of a pretzel in there because I'm originally from Germany. And frankly, I'm coffee and pretzel obsessed. And I love eating and drinking more of those things. So what simple things like that could you add to your profile? Now, the next thing you really want to bear in mind is that this is like a sales page. So what is the next step you would like your audience to take? So often that could be maybe a lead magnet you recommend. So that needs to be featured. Or maybe you already have your own LinkedIn newsletter, so you want to promote that. So be really strategic about what it is you want people to do and make sure that all the places LinkedIn offers you, and these change all the time, that you take advantage of them and add the links and also promote it in your content. Now, the other thing I did quite recently, so this is when you have a little bit more time, is actually have a bit of fun with your experience section, because most likely your experience section is just what it used to be like 10, 20 years ago. So think about the kind of people you love to work with, what kind of achievements in your background would resonate with them, and talk about them in a really human way in your experience section. Now, this is not the biggest hack, but have a bit of fun with it. You know, a lot of people might not even see it, but it might just increase your confidence writing in your tone of voice and highlighting some of the achievements you had. So for me, I went back to a position I had with an agency. The agency founder really was very reluctant to embrace LinkedIn, to embrace content marketing. And sort of a bit of fun, I talked about how we turned that around and how this has really prepared me for everything I do now. So yeah, go back into your experience section. And then the fourth thing, and I know we want to keep this brief, Bob, the fourth thing, it's okay to actually look at people who inspire you. Maybe go outside your sector and, you know, you are a LinkedIn consumer as well. So what makes you notice someone just from the text you read when they show up in search, how they present their profile? And it's okay to adapt those, make them your own, you know, your brand colors, your messaging. Marketing is about looking for other ideas and then adapting them to what you need to use them for. And that's absolutely fine on LinkedIn as well. What I would say, just aim to stand out in a good way, because LinkedIn doesn't need another boring profile. There's too many of them already, right, Bob? You and I talk about this a lot. So don't be afraid of offering those talking points I mentioned earlier and really connecting with your audience.
I think another way to phrase the don't be afraid to stand out is maybe don't try to fit in, because yeah. I think fitting in on LinkedIn is where you will go to die. It's really interesting that the human being is designed to ignore similarity. So if you're trying to fit in, you're very unlikely to get any kind of engagement or visibility outside of your friend circle. It kind of brings me on to my next question. I think it's the big fear for a lot of people. And one of the things you do really well is personal visibility. I see a lot of leaders, especially the larger the organization tends to get, the more they kind of disappear and the more they push the corporate stuff out the front. So there's lots of nice graphics, lots of great photos of teams, but there's never a selfie. There's never a video of you just talking to the camera. And from a neurological perspective, that's actually really important, because if you want this front of mind Nicole needs to be visible. I need to see Nicole, and I need to see her smiling, and she needs to make me feel something. And that can be a big barrier for a lot of people, is their anxiety of the personal visibility. Have you any tips to help people get past that side of things?
Yeah, great question. You know, it reminds me a little bit, you had Mike Morrison on a recent episode, and he talked about the human unfair advantage in the age of AI blend content out there. That's at least how I heard it in my mind. So yeah, it is pretty scary. I agree. I've started filtering out potential clients when they're not willing to share any selfies, because as you said, you want to put something out there which resonates with your audience and helps people stop in the scroll and notice you. So first thing I would say, what does that fear come down to? You know, I used to hate reading out aloud in class. I remember there was one teacher, he always put me on the spot, and I used to dread those lessons. So when I then years later started recording video, it put me back into that place, until I had a really good chat with my editor, and he said, "Hey, Nicole, you can read paragraph by paragraph. It's okay. It's not like being at school. So really go deep. What is that fear linked to?" Someone else had a negative reaction to something he shared at an event. So it's spelling it out and knowing this is an old fear, an old assumption. Does that still serve you? Is it still current? I always believe it's a little bit like training a muscle. So I started jogging, still half don't like it, but yet do it 3 times a week. Give yourself some small milestones. So with your stories, you know, we hear share stories, show up as yourself, increase your visibility. And frankly, I think growing your business is facing that discomfort. And when you do, you make the biggest game-changing steps. So I'm all for that. But with your stories, so think about, okay, what are all your stories? What are the stories you would never want to share because they're way too private and close to your heart, and you don't feel they belong out onto the LinkedIn stage? Check in with your stakeholders, because I find once you have narrowed it down to some stories you're comfortable sharing, because they also show you in a good light, you become a little bit unstoppable, because it's a bit like being a party guest and people want to talk to you because you have interesting stories. It is the same on LinkedIn. So yes, feel the fear, spell it out, do it anyway, and pick your stories, because people often think we want them to air their dirty washing, which basically means tell embarrassing stories they wouldn't want their clients or peers or anyone to hear about. That's not what Rob and I are encouraging you to do. We are encouraging you to find some stories which connect with you and your audience and show you in a good light, because frankly, that's what personal branding is about. So start the stories.
Yeah, one of the things I see people doing all the time when they're new to LinkedIn and they haven't really got a mature plan is following the line of least resistance. And for some people, that's pictures of their feet when they're walking the dog. And for other people, it's grand thought leadership. But what we need is a more three-dimensional version of you. So what do you do for fun? What do you care about? What are you doing at the moment professionally? Who are you thankful for? And by developing a range of categories that you intentionally create content across will allow you to be not, you won't come across as a boring one-trick pony, but you also won't fall into the trap of being so one-dimensional that people don't really feel like they get to know you. I remember, I think you were there at an event where Todd Herman was doing a workshop in London.
Yeah.
I was a huge Todd Herman fan. It was really interesting to be in the same room as him. It was a very strange experience because I knew him intimately. I knew where his kids went to school. I knew where he'd been on holiday. I knew which books he was reading. I knew what the inside of his apartment looked like. I knew his wife's name because I was paying attention to Todd Herman. But he'd given me enough raw material for me to have a genuine, caring relationship with him. And then he's standing in front of me. And he's a smart, very empathetic guy. He could see what was happening.
Yeah.
But it was fascinating to me, like an out-of-body experience. Bob, what the hell is this? We can have that if we give enough of ourselves for other people to decide, I really like this guy. And we have to accept that for some people, we give them permission to say, I really don't like that guy. But the numbers are in your favor. And I think this is why the work you do is really, really important, particularly for creative people, because they're the kind of people who will most often have perfectionism. Nothing's ever good enough. Mm. The work that they're often trying to present, they can only see the flaws. It's really important that people get past that, because that's where all the good things happen.
Yeah, I agree. And I find that other people are too relational on LinkedIn or too transactional. Mm. So in my Wunder content model, I have actually four tracks. So as you just said, to have that really important balance, because you want to let people in, but you also want to show up as a relatable expert. You want to promote your business and you want to have a track which generates leads. Mm. So really important to have that balance. I definitely say for helping people to come up with those stories and different post ideas, if I may, go down to my website and get my content inspiration guide. So that's wunderstars.com/content-inspiration. And there'll be lots of ideas for tech founders, agency owners, and business owners inspired by your clients, inspired by your industry, really just ideas to avoid having that blank page in front of us. But, and, you know, I think that's also a reality. When we leave content creation to last minute, or perhaps if we had a break, coming back is really hard as well. So it's really good sometimes to have some pre-written post prompts, or even as I figured out this summer, I really should have had my first three posts scheduled before I went on a summer break, because we all have suddenly this imposter syndrome. I have nothing interesting to say. What will my audience think? Yeah. I don't know what to write. It's human, right? So how can we equip ourselves and set ourselves up for success? It's really important to consider.
So you mentioned one thing, and I think this is where I'd like to end things, but I think there's probably people screaming at their phones saying, you haven't asked about this, and you brought it up, so it's your fault, which was lead generation. That I think a lot of people post on LinkedIn with this whimsical dream that I want leads, but it often doesn't happen. Is there anything that you encourage people to do to try and stimulate, not going out and messaging people saying, hey, want to buy my thing? There's other more subtle ways of signaling that you welcome leads, or the kind of posts that typically tend to trigger them. How do you help people towards that kind of really tangible dopamine hit? Somebody actually asked for something.
Yeah, it's really important, right? So first of all, I would actually review your current post. Do you give your audience an opportunity to raise their hands in a non-embarrassing way? Because frankly, everyone on LinkedIn wants to learn something, connect, make themselves look good. So if your posts finish off by saying, and I used to do this, so I'm bringing it up, do you struggle with the same? Which one resonates with you? That's really hard for people to comment on. So I would encourage you to review your posts. And I think you and I, we chatted about this in the last episode, so this might be a relevant one to check out. But then on a more fundamental level, look back at your last five sales conversations, maybe the last five times you chatted to someone who would reflect your ideal audience member. What are the questions they ask you? What did their version of "it's fixed" looks like? How do they describe it in their own words? And when you use that knowledge to come up with your next post, do you know, I quite like playing the game of doing exactly that and taking a recent sales conversation and turning it into a post. Because what you will find is that suddenly you are talking to the person you want to work with in their language, and you telling a relatable story, sharing a tip which will help them. And if you then have a way of making it easier for them to comment, so an easier question, or I really still like to use, and it's a bit old-fashioned, but I still like to use LinkedIn polls. So essentially, I often have a LinkedIn poll which is related to LinkedIn strategy. Do you have a strategy? Does your strategy cover DAS? Are you planning to never look at it? Because for me, those signals indicate that someone could really benefit from my work. Now, the other thing about you might not be having any leads, and this goes beyond the platform. How well do you actually communicate your offer? Is it clear the transformation people can achieve, how they achieve them, who's it for? So you've got to make sure that what you talk about on LinkedIn is actually helpful to your audience. It's something they want to buy. So really look back at your offer. And just one final thing, sit down and write posts with the intention of it creating sales. No, then you do that. Those will be your posts which probably have the least amount of engagement because, you know, not everyone is ready to reach out. But don't be afraid of fine-tuning your approach. You know, go in, share a client testimonial. I still find that cringe-worthy. I think we all do, but I make myself do it because I want to be top of mind for that person who can help that kind of agency or tech founder. So I hope amongst some of these tactical and more strategic tips, there's something for your audience to really help them with that.
If I'm making notes, I'm hoping they're making notes. I think this is really, really useful stuff. And I think what's coming across, and I think what everybody needs to take away from this, is you can half-ass LinkedIn, and LinkedIn will be half-assed for you. If you approach it with a spirit of generosity and that content creation and thought leadership isn't something that's when you get round to it, but it's really, it becomes part of your key function, that maybe you do wake up in the morning and you think, today I want to post on LinkedIn. That's the function of my day today. That's the most important thing I'm going to do today. If you're in business, it probably should be. Then you'll feel very, very differently about it. And if you're in business, you need to feel positive about this. If this is a chore for you, you're not approaching it properly. You need to speak to Nicole. You could even speak to me. But if you're an agency founder or a tech startup, speak to Nicole. I don't do those. I will speak to you, obviously, very happily. But you need to develop a content mindset and that this isn't a chore. If people want to find out more about you, Nicole, if they want to get closer to Wonderstars, how can they do that?
Thank you so much. So one way is, of course, to connect with me on LinkedIn. So just search for Nicole Osborne. I tend to post 3 times a week. I sometimes also go live on there, sharing tips for agency founders and tech founders. Or check me out on my website, wonderstars.com.
And you need to do that. It's almost as good as watching the Avengers, especially your live streams. They're so slick. Nicole.
Thank you.
You have been awesome. I've really enjoyed myself as ever. For you at home, that does bring us to the end of another episode. Thanks for listening. And if you did enjoy the show, then I would gently welcome you to leave 5 stars wherever you listen to podcasts. And that is 5, like the fingers on your hand. If you need to count them, stop, take a moment and do that. And I'm going to take a moment, step back and say, I had a look at the reviews, particularly in Apple Podcasts recently. I was startled by how many there are. And trust me, I read them. And Nicole, it's currently, we're sitting at the top 2% in listen notes. A few more reviews might tip me over into the 1%, particularly on Spotify.
Oh, so if you're listening, come on, people, Spotify, comment.
Do a review, because right now it will have a huge impact on me and the show, and it would make me so happy. If you did enjoy the show, you will love the Personal Brand Business Roadmap, 50 pages of everything you need to start, scale, or fix your expert business. Just visit amplifyme.agency/roadmap or hit the links in the show notes. Thanks again at home for listening. And Nicole, you have been awesome.
Thank you so much. Goodbye, everyone.